Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Invisibility Cloak by Barry Hill. For me, being blind isn't an insurmountable obstacle to doing an everyday task, like shopping. It's simply an inconvenient obstacle that necessitates a workaround. Still, there sometimes seems to be the extra obstacle of spontaneous invisibility that occurs when I'm shopping. I don't mind that people bump into me when I'm invisible. They tend to bounce off me rather than me off them. I am, however, quite frustrated that in over 20 years no one has actually said to me, "Can't you look where you're going?" If this does ever happen, I'm prepared to throw my cane on the ground, raise my hands and face to the heavens and cry, "It's a miracle, I can see again! That man, stroke woman, touched me and I can see!" And then I'd blunder off into the nearest wall or shelves. Too harsh? Yeah, fair enough. What I'll really do is lamely say, "No, I'm blind," and then I'll apologise for making the person feel bad when they start gushing. The closest I've come to the "can't you look where you're going" was while sat in a bar with a friend. She went up to the bar for round two and was confronted by a man stood at the bar. The conversation went like this. "Man, has your boyfriend got a problem with me?" "My friend? No, why?" "Man, he's been staring at me for the past 20 minutes. "My friend, he's blind." The man couldn't apologise enough and bought me a pint. Not bad getting a pint from somebody I'd never met or even talked to. Obviously my invisibility cloak had slipped off on this occasion. You may ask how I know I become invisible when I can't see myself. Well, this invisibility seems to kick in at the most inconvenient times, like when I'm waiting at the counter to be served. People come to the counter after me and yet get served before me, which is quite understandable as I am evidently invisible. I do wonder if they are curious that a guide dog is stood there on its own, but this has no bearing on whose turn it is to be served, as the dog wouldn't want serving, unless it was at a butcher's, perhaps. Another common time that the invisibility kicks in is when I need staff in some shops to help me shop. It's okay if I know where the help desk is, but most stores don't have these, so I tend to gravitate towards tills. Well, that's when I realise that I'm invisible again. Neither till staff, any floating shelf stackers or stomping managers, nor customers can see me stood there like a lemon looking helpless as, helpless as a blind man in a store. Until I realise that I've gone invisible again, I try my damnedest not to look like I'm just sightseeing or looking for a friend. I am mistakenly thinking that the first conclusion that any normal person would jump to when they see a man with a guide dog stood a little inside of the doorway is that he's going to not be able to browse the shelves without help. Guide dogs are good, but even the most ignorant of people couldn't expect me to say, "Good boy, Chester, go find me a loaf of bread and 4 pints of milk." I mean, even Lassie would struggle with my demand for organic semi-skimmed milk. Now, there is another situation where I am not sure if I have turned invisible, and that's at zebra crossings. Well, I say zebra crossing, but I'm not sure that the council in its wisdom has taken the stripes away, leaving behind a crossing point to ease traffic flow for the cars going round and round the town centre looking for a parking space. You may suggest that I would know that the zebra crossing had been taken away because the cars don't stop. The thing is, some do. So, are they stopping because there are still nice people out there who feel compassion towards someone who is evidently struggling to cross the road? Or has my invisibility cloak slipped off enough for some drivers to actually see me stood at the zebra crossing? It's like asking if the traffic jam occurs because of a build-up of traffic, or does the traffic build up because of a traffic jam? Actually, it's nothing like that, really, but I bet you all nodded sagely. As superpowers go, it's a pretty cruel one, giving a blind man random invisibility. Perhaps the next time I feel the invisibility kick in, I should bare my arse and see how good it is. Let's see how the vicar likes them apples. "Sorry, We Don't Take That" by Amanda Nelson. 714 job applications and continuing. That's the number of applications that I've applied for since I've landed on Unemployment Island in 2013. The applications are usually very simple and straightforward. However, on most job applications, I get a similar question to this. Do you have a driver's license, or do you have the ability to obtain one? Due to my disability, I'm required to say no. The circle of applications goes a little something like this. Apply for a job and within seconds of working tirelessly to fill out the application, get a job rejection, hear nothing back, job gets filled by someone else, and they don't send out a rejection letter. And then there are a rare few occasions where I'm asked to come in for a job interview. However, along with the job interview offer, I hear something along the lines of, "Please bring in your driver's license and social security card." After explaining that I don't have a driver's license due to a disability and that I have a state-issued identification card, I usually hear, "We don't take that." Even with jobs that don't mention anything about having the requirement to drive on the job description. This makes me sad. I recently learned, according to Florida's DMV.org website, Florida ID cards can also be very helpful during emergencies such as automobile accidents or cases of missing persons, and qualify as a federal form of identification with the Real ID Act. I have even explained this law to a few employers, and when they have stated that they do not take my state-issued identification card, they reply with something like, "It's company policy that we don't take ID cards." Even with this being the law, I can't challenge this issue because driving may be an essential requirement for the job, or a company may have a policy for all their employees to follow. Furthermore, I am not the only person who has come across this issue when job hunting. In Attention Employers, this is employment discrimination. Do you have a driver's license? Joe Streachy writes, "Recently I have been hearing from state vocational rehabilitation counsellors, job seekers, and noticed myself, employers are using job descriptions and online application systems with a question similar to this. Do you have a valid state driver's license?" Streachy goes on to explain that this question can be asked even if there is no connection to driving for the job, and sometimes there is no way to add additional information like medical reasons or just not knowing how to drive, and thus a person must once again say no to this question. There are times when I just turn in my resume and cover letter, or they don't ask that type of question on the application, so therefore, when I get an automatic email interview offer, it also states to bring in my driver's license. So I have tried calling and asking if the driver's license is used for a background check. And then, once again, explain my situation. Again, I usually hear no, or yes, we can take that. However, you mentioned you have a disability. Do you have reliable transportation to get to work? I have also tried going into interviews, and when they ask, I again explain. So far, I haven't received any offers. So, until I find someone that will see me as a person and not just a person who has a disability and a lack of a driver's license because of that very reason, I continue to reside on Unemployment Island.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.